This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. The Supreme Court handed Donald Trump a win today, ruling he can remain on the ballot in Colorado ahead of Super Tuesday. CBS's David Becker.
This just says that he can compete in the political arena to win the presidency again, because states cannot keep him off the ballot, because states under a blanket rule cannot act absent congressional action to remove federal candidates from the ballot.
Our Robert Costa with reaction.
Talking to sources close to the former president, they're feeling good about this already, but they also know the specter of January 6th and scrutiny of the former president's actions remains very much a part of this campaign. Yes, he will be on the Colorado ballot, but looming on the horizon is a possible January 6th trial. So this takes some of the issues off the table, but not everything.
Nikki Haley slammed Trump while stumping in Texas today.
We need someone who knows the difference between right and wrong, between good and bad.
Texas is one of 16 states voting tomorrow in Super Tuesday, but Trump leads Haley by a wide margin. Former Massachusetts Guardsman Jack Teixeira has pleaded guilty to leaking highly classified military material. CBS's Matt Piper.
Acting U.S. Attorney Joshua Levy says the docs were about Russia's war in Ukraine and other national security and military secrets.
Mr. Teixeira exploited his position of trust and accessed hundreds of classified documents. He then posted them on a social media platform.
The 22-year-old faces anywhere from 11 to more than 16 years in prison. Teixeira's attorney, Michael Bachrach.
He is significantly remorseful for his conduct. He's accepted full responsibility for his conduct, and he will be speaking at the time of sentencing as well.
Sentencing set for September. President Biden says he will not stop pushing for a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas that gets hostages freed and gets more aid on the ground in Gaza. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
A deal is on the table, a deal that would bring the hostages home and that would alleviate the terrible suffering of the Palestinian people. Hamas should accept it immediately.
All that white stuff has some businesses seeing green in California. CBS's Carter Evans is in Truckee.
This much snow could actually extend the season. And they know that it is going to be a mad dash now to get up the mountain to take advantage of all this fresh powder. And it's going to be a big boon for businesses here.
They could get another foot by tomorrow. Miami Beach is done taking heat from spring breakers.
Hey, we need to talk.
This isn't working anymore.
And it's not.
The city put out an essential breakup video giving tourists a heads up about curfews and says it plans to limit beach access this month to curb violence. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The committee hosting the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is looking for volunteers. Members are encouraging local businesses to give workers time off so they can help out. The committee says volunteers will play an important role in the convention. 50,000 people are expected in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th. First Lady Jill Biden is warning about what Donald Trump would do about reproductive rights if he returns to the White House.
He's considering a national abortion ban. Donald Trump is dangerous to women and to our families. We simply cannot let him win.
Mrs. Biden was in Waukesha yesterday. Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison Wednesday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Brewers beat the Diamondbacks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rematch of last year's playoff series, and this time Milwaukee on top 10-4 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Over the weekend, the Brewers' Reese Hoskins, able to play some as the designated hitter for the first time since suffering a torn ACL a year ago while still with the Phillies. Hoskins on how soon will he be able to play at first base.
Today went well, but I've learned that it's always about how it goes tomorrow, so yeah, I mean, I'm thinking soon, right? We're now in March. Got to get my legs underneath me and be able to play in the field. So I don't know the exact day, but I'm hoping soon.
College basketball, the Badgers with another loss, this time 91-83 to Illinois. They face Rutgers on Thursday. NBA, the Bucks holding a special Sunday practice session to work on some more of their defense.
Really just trying to get better at everything we've put in, you know, address some slippage areas.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Turning mostly clear tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer, highs to the upper 40s. And more sunshine for Wednesday, into the low 50s for the high. Thursday looks mostly cloudy, a slight shower chance, and a high around 50 degrees. Currently 35 degrees.
Tune in for a Super Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll bring you all the electoral results and more 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who binge watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this weird Monday night throughout the state of Wisconsin. We've had the weirdest weather, and it's weather I don't mind. As I've said before, I think y'all know I hate winter, but it was like thunder and lightning here in Green Bay. I know it's kind of rainy all over the state. Not sure exactly what it's like in your part of the state since we are broadcasting state live. Feel free to text in what the weather is doing in your part of the state. We can have like a little contest if you want. It is Monday. It is great to have you with me. We are broadcasting live from beautiful City Deck Landing here in downtown Green Bay at WGBW. And the long weekend is over, and the excitement of the work week is here. That's how much I love doing Nightlight. Consider the night lit, ladies and gentlemen, and you're all part of it. Conrad, are you with me?
Yeah.
How are those thumbs, buddy? You ready to take these texts and calls?
I had to do some morning stretches for them, just to make sure they're ready.
You did what?
Some morning stretches for my thumbs.
Okay. Thumb yoga?
Yep.
That's okay. You don't want to miss one, buddy.
I can't. Yeah, exactly.
Guy takes his work seriously. Let us know. We want to hear from you guys tonight. We had, I think Monday last night, we set a record with texts and with, you know, interactivity with you guys. It was so much fun. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can weigh in on anything we're talking about tonight, and it's going to be a lot. We have a really fun show planned for you tonight. Music legend Pat McDonald is going to join me in a little while. He was in the band Timbuk 3, was the founder of the band Timbuk 3. He has played with worldwide, highly renowned musicians. His resume is incredible. I had no idea he lived in Wisconsin until a mutual friend introduced us recently. But Pat will join me and talk about a big event he has coming up at the Tarleton Theater soon. And since Pat is not going to be actually singing, Conrad is going to sing tonight.
Well, I don't know if they want that.
You got something picked out, Conrad? Come on, man.
Well, yeah, I can. I'll sing the Ring of Fire. I got it right here.
So. Ring of Fire. Oh, that's beautiful. I can see you crushing Ring of Fire.
I don't know. Do you want to lose listeners?
Well, no.
But I think you probably don't want me to sing that.
No, but here's the thing. If you're bad, that'll be good, too. Oh. We'll get some laughs. And if you're great, you have a new career. Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
I have never done karaoke.
Never done karaoke?
I have never done it, no.
Call yourself an American. All right, well, we'll work on that, too. Also, cinephile Jim Healy will be here to discuss the recent passing of fellow cinephile and UW legendary film professor David Bordwell, who passed away last week. It's so funny. Like, you just... there's some people that... I can't believe I've never heard of, but I've actually heard of David Bordwell. I had no idea what this guy's contributions were to the film world. And I'm in the film business, and I just had no idea. But he was there in UW teaching for over 30 years, highly respected, contributed to the Criterion collections, and supposedly was very innovative in how to teach film as well. So we'll talk to Jim about David's legacy. That's coming up in the second hour. I had a great weekend, Conrad, since you're asking. Why would you take your headphones off? We're on the air, buddy.
I just, you know, had an itch, you know.
I just kind of had a question. I just see these headphones fly up over the window. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I went golfing, so that was fun.
Say something long enough so that I can get up and turn the lights off and we can light the studio properly for Nightlight. All right, go.
Well, I went golfing on Sunday, and it was very, very windy. And on the way home, I felt like my car was going to fly off the freeway because of how windy it was.
So did that help or hurt your golf game? Did it provide actually, a lot of dog leg lefts?
For the first time, I beat my brother in golf, so that felt good.
Oh, that is nice.
It didn't seem like he was happy about it either. So.
Well, why would he be? He's your older brother too, right?
Yeah.
Well, you totally emasculated him on the golf course.
I beat him. Possible. I think I beat him by like 6 strokes, so he wasn't happy.
Do you think golfers would get offended that I would say emasculated you on the golf course? I mean, it's not like the
I think that
manly
that makes
sport.
It worse.
Yeah,
I think that makes it a lot worse.
Right. I mean, are you already kind of emasculated just playing golf? Am I stirring things up here?
I really enjoy just getting on the course. It really just clears your mind. That's why I like it.
That's great. Kind of like thumb yoga.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That clears my mind. It helps the mornings, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Had some really fun, you know, I saw Dune 2 this weekend. I don't know if you guys have seen Dune 2. It crushed the box office. It was the number one film at the box office in the U.S. and overseas, worldwide. I think it took in like $180 million or something like that. But I'm not a sci-fi guy. But I have to say I liked it. My son Joe and I watched Dune 1 on Saturday so we could see Dune 2 on Sunday. So I watched like 6 hours of Dune, a genre I'm not even like crazy about, but you could see the influence of like The Power of Myth and Joseph Campbell and see where apparently my son told me George Lucas got his inspiration from the Dune books for Star Wars, which is not a big surprise when you watch the films. I thought Dune 1 was confusing. It was cinematically, I mean, it looked beautiful. The acting's good, but it just was confusing. And, you know, you can take liberties with a film. If you're adapting it from a book, you have to cut stuff of the book out. There's no way you can cover it all unless you make it a miniseries. And even then, it's impossible. But they kept this witch element that the Rebecca Ferguson character, who played the mom of Dune, no, of the main character, Timothy Chalamet, she had like this witch quality that it was just weird. That's really my only problem with it. But the first one basically came out during COVID, and it kind of just sets up the second Dune, which I will say is worth it. It's really fun. It's really well-paced. It's beautiful. The music is incredible. The composition and the score is just unbelievable. And there's a ton of A-list actors in it, some of whom, in my opinion, are wasted. Javier Bardem plays a guy. It could have been, I could have played it, you know. But, and you couldn't even really tell it was him. So there's a lot of, you know, Florence Pugh was in it. Conrad, isn't that your girl?
I
know you have Kate McKinnon.
Yes, all right. Exactly. Pugh. It's only Kate McKinnon, all right?
Okay.
Let's get
Kate,
that straight.
Nobody else. I got it. Didn't mean to offend. No, but Florence Pugh is in it. She's kind of wasted. There's not a lot. I know they all want to be part of it, and they're going to get huge residual checks. It's an incredible cast. But the third act kind of is just sort of becomes kind of a celebration of the main character's anointing, the chosen one, the son of the witch. But having said that, I'm nitpicking because it was a really fun. If you want to go see a film in the theater, I highly recommend Dune 2. It's really fun, especially if you go with someone. It's just a really fun watch. My son was not as into it as I was, which surprised me because he loves Star Wars and he He likes a lot of sci-fi stuff, but the desert was a really cool setting for the film too. But Timothy Chalamet plays Paul, who plays Rebecca Ferguson's son, which leads me, I didn't even say the question yet tonight. Tonight's question is, who is the best TV or movie son? If you had to pick a son from TV or movies, who would you want it to be? And I think I thought of this question because The Pacifier came out in 2005 on this day. It's about watching kids. And probably just because of Dune. So who would you want as your TV or movie son? Let me know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to think about this because I'm not ready to try. Conrad, who would you want as your, I mean, you're still a young guy, but would you have a, oh, it's National Sons Day too. That's why I came to the question. That's kind of a big thing.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'll just ponder this over the break.
Okay. You ponder it. Get those thumbs stretched out. Ponder who you want your son to be. It's also National Pound Cake Day, which is kind of crazy. The pound cake came into existence because they decided that the regular cake was not heavy and dense enough. So they had to come up with a heavier, richer cake. Therefore, the pound cake was born. So if you want to celebrate National Pound Cake Day, do it with your son. Have pound cake with your son and put on some National Marching Music Day. You know, we should have got Jump Around. It's Marching Music Day. That's not really marching music, but
it's a great song.
It's a great song. We should just have that at the ready.
Every single break, we just play that now.
After the first half hour and the second hour, we should play Jump Around because that's like the third quarter.
There we go.
And you and I can jump around and look crazy to all the people passing by on Main Street here. So that's our question. Who is your favorite TV or movie son? Who would you want as a son from TV or movies? 855-752-4842. I want to hear from you. And there's a lot going on. Rihanna supposedly performed over in the Middle East. She was paid $6 million for a private performance, and they're saying she kind of mailed it in. I think she, like, performed for a prince or a king or something. How do you get into that? I know it's $6 million. Figure out a way. Bring your A game. But she doesn't really need the money. She took the gig, so go all out. But that is weird. That's like Spicoli hiring Van Halen to play his birthday party. Or just some dude sitting there watching you. Probably perving on her, too. Because he's got that kind of money. And I have a new career. I'm pondering, Conrad. I'll tell you about that after the...
Okay.
I don't want to be a... There's a lot of... You know, you hear about revenge porn. That's a big thing.
Okay.
You've heard about, like, a porno kings.
Yeah.
I think revenge porno king should be a job.
Okay.
I think I could do that. I just have to have I have to find a lot of people to have sex with. And then I have to get mad at them. I have to find a lot of people to have sex with, take pictures of, and then get mad at them. Then I think I'm a very rich man. All right. Coming up at 7:35, music legend and Wisconsin resident. I think he's a Wisconsin resident. I don't know where his driver's license is from, folks. That's not important. But Pat McDonald will be here at 7:35 to talk about music and his awesome career and a couple gigs he has coming up that are really cool. And we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Catherine O'Hara, that's what we're going to talk about next. She plays the best drunk of anyone in the history of cinema. We'll talk about Catherine O'Hara next on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optimus Tax Professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You know that it would be untrue. Welcome back. You know that I would be alive. So, there's a phrase called Midwest Nice. And a friend of mine, Mike Mercury, a comedian and a writer, very funny guy. He's been on the show a couple times. He's almost a nightlight bestie. Wrote a column about Midwest Nice. So I think we're going to try to have Mike on later in the week to explain what that means. Do you have any idea what that means, Conrad? Midwest Nice?
Yeah. I think a common phrase with it is, oh, sorry, didn't see you there. And I use that a lot, actually. I don't even realize I'm using it either.
But what does that mean? Oh, sorry, didn't see you there.
So, I think it's when you bump into someone, you're like, oh, I didn't see you there.
Because that's like kind of one of my pet peeves. When I see someone like at the grocery store or whatever, and I'll say, oh, hi, Bob. Oh, hi, didn't see you there. Well, I assume you didn't see me or you would have said hi first. But when they say that, I feel like they're trying to avoid you and they were hoping you didn't see them.
They were looking at you like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, God. There's Pete. I don't want to get a lengthy conversation with Pete. Hear about his new talk show. So that's what you think Midwest Nice is?
I think there's more to it, but okay. I feel like that's a common phrase with Midwest Nice.
I think you're right, and I think Midwest Nice is typically when you're nice to someone even though you hate their guts. Or when,
yeah.
When they say something completely inane. Whereas, like, New Yorkers are more direct, and I actually don't mind that. But here in the Midwest, we'll be nice to your face, but the second you leave, oh, that guy was crazy. What the hell's he talking about? I think that's what Midwest Nice is.
So Midwest Nice is just talking behind someone's
BS.
Back,
yeah,
but being a friendly person to them.
You're being cordial. And I don't, like, I say I like when people are direct, and I do. However, I do Midwest Nice too. I don't want to get into it with someone. So I'll just kind of, sometimes I'll agree with them. Yeah, sure. Of course the earth is flat. Have a great day.
You just don't want to go into that conversation.
Exactly. I'm not going there with this guy or girl or whatever. But we'll ask Mike. We'll have Mike on the show and he can explain his column. It was very funny. And I've heard the term, I watch all the Fargo shows. So I hear the term Minnesota Nice, which I assume means the same thing. Might be tougher to get the Coen brothers on the show. Conrad, take a memo. Let's try to get the Coen brothers on the show.
Okay.
No more messing around. This is ridiculous. So it's Catherine O'Hara's birthday. Was Catherine O'Hara's birthday today? She either had a birthday today or over the weekend. She turned 70. She's an original Second City member from Toronto with Martin Short, John Candy. Just a marvelous actor. She was in, my favorite performance of hers is Waiting for Guffman. But she's just great in everything. She plays the mom in Home Alone, familiarly, if you're wondering who she is. She's the mom in Home Alone. She was in Waiting for Guffman. She plays Colin Hanks' character's mom in the movie Orange County, which was written and directed by Mike White, very good filmmaker. And Orange County is a very underrated comedy. You don't hear about it much. It's Colin Hanks plays an 18-year-old kid trying to get into Stanford. And his family is crazy, and they live in Orange County, and they're well-to-do. And Catherine O'Hara is drunk a lot. She's the mom, and she's really funny. Most of the time, I would say, when actors are playing drunk in movies or TV, you can tell it's an act, they're acting. It's like, okay, whatever. Catherine O'Hara either is really drunk when they're filming this, or she's just an incredible actor, and I think she's an incredible actor. So Here's a clip from Catherine O'Hara in Orange County. Colin Hanks plays her son as they discuss the upcoming, his interview and his hopeful admittance into Stanford.
This is my last chance to get into Stanford.
I know, honey, and it's not a good day for me.
But I have to go to college.
Why?
Because that's what you do after high school. God, please don't do this to me, all right? Please don't sabotage me, because every time I try to depend on you, you start acting like a total lunatic.
Oh, Sean.
Oh. Mom? I'm sorry.
So now I'm a bad mother.
No, you're not. Will you please just put on some clothes?
I sacrificed a lot for you, Sean. I sacrificed Damien for you.
Your tennis instructor.
He was beautiful and Serbian. And when your father left, I almost married him. And if I had, we'd be living in a condo, clipping coupons, and eating lunch meat. So I didn't. I married Bob for you. I had sex with Bob 4 times for you. So how can you say I'm a bad mother?
I'm not saying that. Mom, you know that money can't buy happiness.
Oh, grow up. Yes, it can.
You and Dad both have money and you're both miserable.
He's miserable? Sean, did he say that?
Mom, this is the most decisive day of my life. And all I am asking for is 1 hour. 1 hour with no big scenes and no nervous breakdowns and no Meryl Streep impressions. Just 1 hour where you act like a normal, loving parent. Can you do this for me?
Oh, Sean. Yes, I can.
Thank you, Mom.
But I'll need a glass of wine. There's some Chardonnay in the fridge.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll be right back. Don't move.
That's Catherine O'Hara and Colin Hanks. Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son. Pretty talented guy. And it was great in that movie. He was also in a season of Fargo where he played a small town cop and was just phenomenal. But pretty underrated actor, and probably a heck of a time getting out from under his father's shadow. We have another clip. This is a few moments later on the patio when the Stanford committee members who are evaluating Colin's character come to the Orange County home. His brother, played by Jack Black, has already entered the room while the recruiters are there looking for his urine test. Jack Black is in his underwear. Very funny scene. This is moments later, out on the patio. Catherine O'Hara has just had Chardonnay, and she's trying to impress the college recruiters.
I'd like to propose a toast. Sean has been a wonderful son. And I want him to be happy.
The great Catherine O'Hara turns 70 today. So what about any progress on that favorite son, Conrad?
I think I have to ponder it over this.
Ponder it over the news break. From the 608, Rico from Rock County says, just letting you guys know your streams are not working. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Do we have a TV guy we could call over here, Conrad? Something's up with the camera.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll figure it out during the break.
Yeah, all right. Now you've said it on the air. The pressure is on, dude.
I'm going to try.
All right. I believe you. Also, Christy Barlament chiming in on the stream says, Catherine O'Hara is the best with 3 hearts, not just 1, 3 hearts. And I could not agree more with Christy's commentary. All right. We'll work on getting that stream fixed if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, because our studio looks amazing tonight. And it's great to have you with me. Coming up next, legendary Wisconsin musician Pat McDonald here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around.
Crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. Supreme Court rules that President Trump's name must be on the Colorado primary ballot. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold.
It will be up to American voters to really safeguard democracy in November.
In another U.S. Supreme Court move, a new Texas law that allows police to arrest migrants who enter the country illegally has been temporarily put on hold. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum believes that the Supreme Court is likely to hear the case.
Because this is another example of a border state asserting its police and public health powers in contravention of federal law and in contravention of the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution.
Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Texera pleads guilty to posting online Pentagon documents. Defense attorney Michael Becker.
He is significantly remorseful for his conduct. He's accepted full responsibility for his conduct, and he will be speaking at the time of sentencing as well.
Which will be in September. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We Energies expects to spend about $335 million to build electrical infrastructure to serve Microsoft's data center in Mount Pleasant. Data centers are massive users of electricity. The U.S. Energy Department says data centers use as much as 50 times the energy of a similar-sized office space. Data centers run around the clock to support cloud computing and other data-intensive applications. The Wisconsin legislature's new district maps are creating openings for Democrats. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein says she's hearing from a lot of people who want to run for office.
I am thrilled. We've got great candidates all over, and with Trump at the top of the ticket, and with Tammy Baldwin and her numbers, it's going to be a great year.
That's Hesselbein at a WISP politics luncheon last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Turning mostly clear tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer, highs to the upper 40s. And more sunshine for Wednesday, into the low 50s for the high. Thursday looks mostly cloudy, a slight shower chance, and a high around 50 degrees. Currently 35 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Todd Allball Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. From the 715, this texter says, love Manny Delgado from Modern Family. Great son. That's a great answer. One I would not have thought of. Our question tonight, in honor of National Sons Day, who is your favorite TV or movie son? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, so I'm very excited to introduce this next guest. He is an incredibly accomplished musician who's worked with other fellow legendary musicians. He was the founder of the band Timbuk 3. And he is also a Wisconsinite, and I believe resides here in Wisconsin. My pleasure to welcome Pat McDonald. Pat, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks.
It's great to have you on the show.
I'm glad I can see you now.
You know what? This is funny. Okay, so the show is called Nightlight. The studio is very bright. It looks like a post-op room where patients go to recover the way it's lit. So I typically kill the lights and just put the lighting on that's in here. Well, I forgot to do that. I got up to turn off the light to the studio and the camera went dead for some reason. So Conrad comes into the studio. He's trying to figure out how to fix it. And I said, well, let me try to turn the light back on, thinking no way this will work. And it worked. So there you go. That's the extent of my mechanical abilities, Pat.
Great. and thank God we have people watching on Facebook who can tell you things like, we can't see your picture and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
exactly. Well said. Let me just first say, I have great memories of driving around in high school on the streets of small town, Wisconsin, Marinette specifically, with my friends listening to The Future's So Bright, You Gotta Wear Shades. Thank you for providing a soundtrack to that memory for me. That's a really great song. Can you talk a little bit about where that song came from and your time with Timbuk 3?
I'll just tell you a little snippet, because you were talking about hearing it on the radio, and I remember the first time I heard it on the radio, and it was actually when I was writing it, I could actually kind of hear it on the radio. The first line of the lyric just seemed like something that would be, it sort of sounded like rap phrasing to me at the time, and I thought I had hit a new mark in terms of lyric writing. So anyway, cut to, you know, years later, we got it out on a single. And I were in L.A. driving down Sunset in the van, the whole band, well, which was just me and Barbara and our tour manager. But I was driving and pulled up next to this little car, this little convertible with this Hollywood looking woman in it, and suddenly I hear our song blasting from her car radio. And I was just stunned for a moment, because that wasn't the first time I heard it on the radio, but maybe the second time. But I was really excited about the context of it. So I'm ready to say, hey, I'm ready to actually breach the wall and say, hey, that's us, you know, because she's in a convertible, you know. And just as I was ready to do that, she reaches and changes the station.
Oh.
And so.
So you gave her the finger.
No, it was like we all just laughed. Because that is right there in that crystallized moment is life, itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially life in show business on mm-hmm. some level. That's so great.
That's one of my most treasured memories, actually. Yeah.
And on Sunset Boulevard, too. I love that it was in L.A. on Sunset Boulevard. Would it have been the same memory if it was here in Green Bay and you were driving down the street and hurt? Would you have still been tempted to break that wall?
You know, it might have been more humiliating. You know, the fact that it was Hollywood seemed to make it less humiliating.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Great answer. That song, I believe, was nominated for a Grammy, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it was, we were nominated as the best new artist of 1987.
That is so, wow. That's what does that do when you get nominated for a Grammy? Does that give you more cachet in the music industry? Do you have to win? Was it easier to get other projects made? How does that work in the music business?
It seemed like a really huge thing at the time. And, you know, you get to go to the Grammys, first of all. You generally dress up. Pee Wee Herman was there. That was cool. I had met him one time before. We were on the same talk show and sitting next to each other. Oh, and he broke character. We had just performed and I came down and sat next between him and Joan Rivers. And he's telling me, hey, the lighting was really good. And the stage looked great. I think you're going to really like this whole thing. And he's in the Pee Wee character, right? But he's broken character to say this to me, you know?
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
And that was another moment. I even forgot what the question was.
I was just curious as to what a Grammy nomination does for your career, if it helps you get other material made or gives you any kind of cachet maybe that you didn't have before.
The thing is, my mom felt really bad that I didn't invite her to come with us, but we could only have one guest, and it was our manager at the time. And and I said, don't worry, Mom. Next time we get a Grammy, you can come for sure. Man. And we never got another Grammy, and my mother has never forgiven me for that, but she loves me anyway.
Yeah. You might have to sit at the kids' table at Thanksgiving or something for that one.
Yeah.
But so what album, what won in 1987 if you guys were nominated?
Yeah, we lost to Bruce Cockburn.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's kind of funny because the songs were both sort of social commentary, you know, and his was serious, and it was like, that's just the way it is. And that was the sentiment of the song. And ours was this kind of sarcastic song, sort of about the same thing. Like can I say naughty words on this?
I think if it's not.
Probably not. No, this is FCC. This is FCC.
Yeah, we're okay. On the radio.
Anyway, just imagine some naughty words there. And
I can do that.
Yeah. But. But the thing is, yeah, it was a basic screwy little sarcastic ditty that was about the future being bright, but you know, with overtones of nuclear devastation. So you know, it was like his song was kind of our song inside out in a way. Both had to do with the state of the world, but his was serious and ours wasn't. And his was a really good song and it still, you know, survives today.
Yeah. So,
and I don't have any resentment about losing to him. He was a really personable acceptor of the award. He accepted the award. It seemed to me like he really, we're probably about the same age, or he might be younger than me, but he seemed to accept the award as more of a grown-up than I would have been in accepting the award. So that's why I figured he deserved it more than I did. So,
oh, that's funny. Yeah. Your song, I mean, do you think people understood that there was some humor to your song with the wearing shades and the threat of nuclear war? Did people pick up on that?
Well, in Europe, everyone did. For some reason, everyone who could speak English in Europe could understand irony in lyrics.
Right.
And yet, in the U.S., it seemed like it was 50-50. So we would go in for radio interviews And they'd say something like, and I've rehashed this so many times, but it's just kind of encapsulates what was going on. You know, the guy who was interviewing us at the radio station, he'd say, "So why are you guys so optimistic?" You know, and it was always, we were ready for it, and yet we weren't ready for it because we didn't have a rehearsed answer to the questions. So it was always kind of a bummer moment when we kind of had to correct him on it.
It reminds me a little bit of when you go to 4th of July celebrations and they're putting fireworks in the air and they're playing Born in the USA. And I'm like, I don't think they understand. This isn't really a patriotic song, you know. And your song, like half the people, when it came out in bars, everybody kind of went crazy. And they probably all thought, yeah, I want to be a yuppie someday. That's how bright my future is. Maybe didn't. And at that age, I didn't understand it either. But just it's interesting.
Yeah, that. But see, you think you're going to write a song that's like a Trojan horse that kind of gets into places where a message needs to be heard. And it's going to kind of sneak in there and they're going to hear this thing. And suddenly it's going to hit them like what the song's really about. Doesn't always work like that.
Right. My guest is Pat McDonald. He's a musician and Wisconsin native and the founder of the band Timbuk 3. And it's great to have him on Nightlight. Guitar player, Pat, I saw online. They call your songs playful and edgy. Would you agree with that? Certainly the case in Future So Bright. But are most of your songs like that, would you say?
I really think that the edgier you get, the more playful you got to be in a way. It's kind of like, for me, it's like, you know, yin and yang. It's sort of, music to me is playing music. You're playing, it's play, you know, it's playful, right. You know? So playful and edgy, I suppose, you know, it just probably,
That's a great answer. You're right.
I don't argue with that. Yeah. I don't argue with that.
No. Were you part of any other that song was a top 20 hit. That must've been exciting. Were you part of any other songs that went that far in the charts? And what was that feeling like?
No, that was the only song that went into the top 20. And, we were just blown away that happened because we didn't think of ourselves as like a top 40 band, you know, we didn't picture ourselves. I did kind of picture that song on the radio when I was writing it a little bit. And I kind of laughed about it because thinking, oh, who knows? But then do you ever heard of a guy named Daniel Johnston?
I don't believe so. No,
he was little cult figure of a singer-songwriter in Austin when we first moved there. And he had a movie made about him. Daniel Johnston, you know, it's worth checking out.
Okay.
He's quite an interesting story there. But anyway, we were in the same little group down there of people, you know, in same scene, struggling artists in Austin. And Daniel Johnston came up to me at a club one night and said, you know, after we had played a set, he said, you know, I can really hear your songs on the radio. And I was like, whoa. And he could tell that I didn't know how to take that, you know. And he said, but what, you don't like that? Like, don't we all want to be on the radio? Isn't that what it's all about? And at that point in time, I was kind of undecided, you know, like,
yeah,
I really didn't see us in that place. But
that's a great question.
It's a whole, I know it's kind of like you can get stuck on this, these past stories.
No,
I'm still,
you know,
trying
what?
To figure out that period of my life.
Yeah.
Though, you know what I mean?
Let's dig into that a little more, too. We've got more with Pat McDonald coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Thank you. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
I studied nuclear science. I love my classes. I got a crazy teacher. He wears dark glasses. Things are going great, and they're only getting better.
Welcome back to Nightlight.
I'm doing all right, getting good grades.
Future's so bright, I got to wear shades. From Timbuk3, we are talking to Timbuk3 founder right now, Pat McDonald. It's great to have him on the show. He is a Northeast Wisconsin boy, done good. Is that a good description of you, Pat? You're from Northeast Wisconsin, right?
Grew up in Green Bay.
Yeah. And you live here now?
I live in Sturgeon Bay now.
Oh, wonderful. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Is it difficult living there when you're still part of the music scene?
It's real easy.
Yeah.
Living in Sturgeon Bay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I make it as difficult as I can, but that's another thing altogether. Yeah.
We can go into that too if you want, but I want to ask you about you have a big event coming up at the Tarleton in April. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. That place has always held a place in my heart, sort of. I remember it was the West Picture Show or the West Theater, which is really near West High, where I went to high school. And I swear I saw Johnny Cash do his show.
Oh, wow.
He had the whole Cash family, Carter family, and I was a kid. But I swear it was at the West Theater. That's where my memory places it. It was in Green Bay. And I've always remembered it being there. And which is now, of course, the Tarleton.
Yeah.
But then years later, in the early 2000s, I played a series of Christmas shows like at the West. And it was still the West at that point. And I had a bunch of friends come and play. It was kind of like a variety show, sort of almost inspired by the old Johnny Cash family type show, you know?
Yeah.
But I did that a couple Christmases in a row. But then they closed it down, and my name was still on the marquee for the previous one I'd done. And it was on the marquee, it seemed like a couple years, because they vacated the building and they didn't remove the letters from the marquee. So I was there on that marquee for a really long time. And but then not long after that, we started Steelbridge Songfest in Sturgeon Bay.
I was going to ask you about that too. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Can you tell us about that as well?
Yeah. There's that bridge that goes across the canal in downtown Sturgeon Bay. And it's a drawbridge, an old steel drawbridge. Have you ever been up?
Oh, sure. Many times. I've spent quite a bit of time in Door County, and yeah, we always go over that bridge. I'm surprised it's still two lanes. It's still two lanes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They wanted to widen it and make it four lanes and just trash it and build a new bridge that was four lanes there. But my sister and a bunch of people, they fought real hard. I became a part of that fight when we created Steelbridge Songfest.
Oh, but nice.
But yeah, it's still there. And right across that bridge is the Holiday Music Motel where I live. I'm in it. It's here.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
Melanie Jane and I have an apartment.
That's so great. Yeah, I go by there all the time. And the bridge is so short. It's kind of cool that you just kept it two lanes. You don't need a huge, you can suck it up and be on the bridge for an extra minute and keep it from being four lanes, I think.
Yeah, they couldn't have kept the bridge. They would have had to totally replace the bridge. So we like the bridge. So we wanted to keep it. And, so I guess we're still talking about the West Theater gig, though. But I always like talking about Steelbird Songfest because it was such a strange thing to do at the time for us.
Well, and it's still going on, right?
Well, in a form. Right now we have Steelbridge Radio, which is an online radio station that plays all the songs that were written at Steelbridge Songfest. And every June, early June, we do a live show that kind of honors Steelbridge Songfest, but we don't really do the same thing we used to do with the bottle spins and the collaborative writing sessions. I don't know if you know the whole story of what Steelbridge was, but
just the basics. Yeah, I had heard that, but beyond that, I don't know much about it.
Yeah, we filled the motel with songwriters and wrote songs in the motel and set up about three studios in the motel, and song after song after song. At the end of the week, we'd have maybe 50 songs written by about 40 songsongwriters or 50.
Oh, that is cool.
We had as many as 72 songwriters one year. And it was just songs inspired by the bridge.
Wow. So there are parameters when you're writing the songs.
So we have all these, double albums, double CD collections, I don't know, volume, maybe we did volume 15 or volume 16 or however many years we were doing it. There were these CD collections. Well, all that music. And then we added a couple other events when we bought the motel. We added Dark Songs and Love on Holiday, which were two other collaborative songwriting events. And we have CDs representing all of those too. And all that music is played on Steelbridge Radio. Steelbridgeradio.com. We do live events, live radio broadcasts on Steelbridge Radio to kind of like represent Steelbridge Songfest during June, and then Love on Holiday during Valentine's Day, and Dark Songs during Halloween time. And all that stuff is mashed and jumbled together on Steelbridge Radio, all the songs we wrote.
Hey, Pat, do you have a few, can you stick around just for a few more minutes? I have a few more things I want to ask you, including about Tambourine, which I think is is the coolest name I've ever seen.
Oh, cool.
Do you mind hanging just for a few more minutes through the break?
I'd love to talk about Tambourine.
All right. Yeah. Fantastic. We'll talk about that with Pat next. And I've got some other questions too, including about his musical influences, one of which may or may not be Johnny Cash, as Pat mentioned. So we'll talk about that when we come back. This is Nightlight with Peach Baba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've got a job waiting for my graduation. 50,000 a year, I'll buy a lot of beer. Things are going great, and they're only getting better. I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
Tune into The Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
The The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.